This episode of Inside Running Podcast is proudly brought to you by New Balance. The global athletic leader is excited to announce the newest addition to their fuel cell range, the Fuel Cell RC Elite. Developed using data collected from athletes, Fuel Cell offers the highest energy return of any New Balance performance foam today. Runners looking for premium technology and speed built smarter should jump into the New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite, which is available now at select running specialty stores and newbalance.com.au.
Pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? I'm the brother of my skin.
Welcome to episode number 149 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show to get through this week. Thanks for giving us a bit of your attention and listening to us bang on about running stuff for the next 60, 90 minutes or so. Actually, big name guest jumping in the end of this episode today as well that we'll be able to fire some questions at. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Brady. Just back from the coast. Spent 3 nights down there, which was nice.
Long weekend away down at the Beachel property.
Yeah, down at Surfside.
Catch any waves?
No, I didn't even go in the water.
Didn't get out there like the other co-host who's been surfing up a bit, Julian Spencer, 214 man in Anglesey. How you going?
Good. Yeah, I was in the water a fair bit this week, actually.
Well, yeah, much competition out there. It was all kind of pretty quiet.
It's mellow. I get out there when it's like dawn, so I don't have to deal with any like hassle and crowds.
Kooks.
No, I am the kook.
Oh yeah.
Brady just loves saying the word.
Yeah. I like it too. I've started talking like a surfer again. A lot of kooks.
I've got a mate who thinks he's a surfer and just like talks like one, but he's not real good at surfing, so that's where I got that word from.
They're the ones that, like, growing up in Anglesey we used to make fun of.
They just come down for weekends and stuff.
Come down from Bendigo, I think.
Bendigo, yeah.
For 3 or 4 weeks, yeah. No, fuck off.
Bleach blonde hair, tattoos. He has a tattoo of his son on his bicep. He was a good runner, though, back in the day.
Do you get surfing quotes from Point Break, Brady?
No, I just get them straight off this guy, Josh Nolan. His name was Moose.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep an eye out in the surf for him.
Mad Mungle can fight, though. That's one thing that Bendigo probably has over Anglesey. Street fighters. Tell you what, the amount of biffs I saw on the streets of Bendigo growing up. Rough place to grow up. Anyway.
Streets of Bendigo, did you?
Yeah. In the real rough area. Long Gully, people playing at home in North Bendigo, actually, in that area. Real rough suburbs of Bendigo. What about the North Bendigo footy oval? They call it the zoo because it's just a whole pack of animals in there. Like, that's legit the nickname.
Anyway. Weren't you a little boundary umpire too?
I'd never take games at the zoo, though. You'd never want a boundary umpire at the zoo. That's a dangerous place.
I could just imagine you in fluoro gear running around.
I did it back when it was white gear. There wasn't the fluoro. That didn't come in yet. I only had the white stuff.
I would have given you some shit if I was a player.
The white was real OG. Anyway, tell us about your week, Moose. What have you been doing? Any running?
No, I didn't run. So I had the week off. First week of 2 weeks off for me. What'd I do? Monday, I think I went surfing actually on the Monday. And then on the Tuesday, funny story. I went out Tuesday morning before I went up to Ballarat and fell off and then smashed my ear against the surf. And I think I burst perforated an eardrum. So I had to go to the doctor in Ballarat when I got up and they looked in my ear and the doctor's a listener, actually, Geordie McGarry, and he's like, oh, I can't really see your eardrum. I've got like this thing called exostosis, or surfer's ear it's called, where the when you grow up surfing in cold water, the bones in your ear grow to try to protect it. And so there's like water gets trapped in your eardrum, and because apparently because the water's colder than like the something like than your body temperature or something. I don't know fully, but it
sounds
sits
like
there.
A, sounds like a theory, Moose. Taking over.
No, it's legit. A lot, pretty much every surfer that I know down here has had it or needs the surgery. Basically, there's a surgery like that they go in and they drill out the overgrown bones in your ear canal. Google it. It's legit. Surfer's ear. So I've got that, and so I need to see a specialist to try to get that surgery. But apparently, you can get it. Like, it's not an immediate thing that you need. It just creates like infection because the water stays in and doesn't drain out. So it's a bit of a problem. So you need to continually like use drops to try to dry out your ears after you go surfing or swimming. But it's due to cold water. People in Queensland and that don't get it. It's a thing. It is a thing.
It sounds like you just want to set yourself up now as this like diehard surfing guy. You're getting that vibe, Brad?
Yeah.
Now he's injured and can't go to London. It's like, well, I'll just be the cool surfer guy on the podcast.
I can tell you.
Picks on boundary umpires, stuff like that.
As a distance runner, I was the most uncool person in the whole, like, oh, I'm going to say I'm cooler than you two blokes, but I'll probably be the third least cool person in the country. At least surfing gives some degree of credibility of cool.
Croaks is pretty cool.
Not many cool runners out there, let's be real.
There's a whole lot of legend listeners though. We all know what you're talking about, I reckon. Just the nerdy runners listening to this podcast.
So many nerdy runners. And yeah, no, like you Google this, surfer's ear. It's not a fucking joke. It's for real. Anyway, kept surfing. Went up, did a mountain bike ride on Tuesday. I mean, on Wednesday, and then came back Thursday, got back in the water, but now I plugged the ears up with like blue tack. And then a hood to stop any water getting in. Friday, I went out and I rode with Ali on her workout in the on a row. It was like 4 by 15 minutes. She'll tell you about that later. Oh, I gave the surprise away, didn't I? Sorry.
They'll say it in the title, I reckon.
Oh yeah, okay. And then Saturday, went for an early surf, drove up to Ballarat, came back Sunday. What did I do Sunday morning? I went for a bike ride with the guys running, with Bree and then Ali, and then went for a surf in the arvo. So all in all, I did a lot of like strength work, so much strength work that it hurt my hips so much. Like my TFL got so overloaded from doing too much strength work that I could barely walk. So it's a problem when you get injured, isn't it? When you go from one thing to another thing really hard and you just jump into it too quick. That's what I did.
Thoughts on uploading bike rides to Strava, Brad? If you're a diehard runner?
Well, I can't say they're bad because I do have some rides on Strava back from when I was injured for a while and I was doing a bit of riding, so I don't have an issue with it.
That's not a fucking question. Strava was designed for fucking cycling.
If you got all running followers, I reckon just leave that bike ride and stuff off there. Unless you're going to put the good photos up there.
Yeah. So my old flatmate, he was a cyclist, and all of my training was just on Garmin Connect, and he was actually the one that told me about Strava. So.
Yeah, I know that Strava's a bike riding app. That's how it started.
What about swimming?
I just think play to your crowd, I reckon. Like, Moose, your kudos count's down massive on these bike rides.
Yeah, well,
people don't want to see it. 91 kudos.
Yeah, I only just got back.
You got 4,000 followers.
Yeah.
Not good engagement. Coming. I reckon keep it off there, to be honest.
It's good to see you back on Strava, Moose.
Oh, yeah. No, there's not much point putting up like yoga and shit like that. Serious, like, or go for a walk with my missus. Something that's fucked. Because that's not a thing.
Strength training?
No. Not strength training.
Core?
Not yoga. Not core. Not going for a walk. I'll pay going for like a surf ski or something. You know, like I've seen that a bit lately.
Paddleboard?
I'll pay an ocean swim. No, it's like in the surf ski. Like, but I don't pay strength and conditioning on Strava.
What's your criteria then? Why are you paying some and not the others?
Movement activities that require effort, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
no it. Effort required, no.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that, maybe. Anyway, you finished your week? What are you up to? Nah.
Bike no, that's it. Yeah, I'm done.
Zero Ks, but a few bike rides. Bit of strength
training. I did a bit of e-biking in there. I'm not sure about e-biking, though, on Strava.
Did you stack?
Oh, I fucking stacked on Thursday. Shit. So I was going through Kagura Park, which is just a park here, and it had been raining heaps, you know, early in the week it pissed down. And there was this boardwalk, and it was half underwater. And the boardwalk comes through, like, the full river. So you're out in the middle of the river, and it was the corner of it sunken. And so the water covered it. I was running with Matty Gunther, and he ran past. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to put my foot down in the water. So I thought, I'll just push off hard before I go around the corner so I don't have to put my foot down at all. And so I put my foot down and went to turn the corner. And, of course, the boardwalk, being underwater, is totally slippery. So I just the bike just slid out, and I ate shit in the middle of, like, the river, underwater on the boardwalk, soaking wet, plus sore, plus dignity gone. Embarrassing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was terrible. Terrible bike riding skills.
You'll get better a few more days practicing.
Yeah. I got out today for a good one. Check it out. Check out the climbing.
On Strava.
Yeah.
No, you did like 40K or something, didn't you? I did see it this afternoon when I was scrolling through there.
Yeah, like 43K or so, 800 metres climbing, single speed, mountain bike, so no gears, just getting it done. I'll come back fitter than I was.
Oh, yeah, we got 800 metres, yeah, right.
Yeah, I went and checked out a loop that Ali's going to do for a tempo on Friday. It's going to be pretty fun to ride on that one.
Oh, just that loop bit? I'm just looking at your map now, not the whole.
The loop bit. No, not the whole thing, the loop bit. So if you check it out, like, see the hill that I went up? Crazy.
No, now I've got to click into it. Anyway, Brad, what have you been doing?
I ran every day last week, which was first in probably in a month. Had a couple of sessions, long run. So it's probably as close to a normal week as you get, as I've had in the last probably 3 months. So Monday was 45 minutes at 4:20s. Tuesday, I went out in the afternoon. I had planned to do a session on Tuesday, and then, I don't know, like, I always now just go out thinking that my body's just going to be shit. So I didn't really want to commit to anything. So I went out, started running, and about 2K in. Run up through Mulligan's, it's pretty much uphill for the first 2K. I'm like, oh, I'm actually not, my back and hips aren't sore, and I'm actually moving okay here. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just do like a bit of a progression run and just see how I feel. Originally I thought, oh, when I got to the top of the hill, I'll average 4 minute Ks for an hour. That'll do me. And then I got down the other side. I'm like, oh, no, I'm feeling okay. So it ended up being a pretty good run. I did 16K in an hour, so 3:46s. Let me just have a look at it. So yeah, it sort of went like 4:24, 4:10 up the hill. And then from there, just, 3:59, worked all the way down to 14th K was like 3:24. So I think my last 10K was 36 minutes, which best I've felt in ages. Like, my body wasn't sore. I felt like I was moving pretty well. Wasn't flat to the boards at any of those paces. Like, I sort of got to the end feeling like, not fresh, but like I could definitely keep going. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, worked during the day, so then just got out for 45 minutes in the afternoon, 4:13s. Thursday, met up with a guy that I coach, Rob. He did 10K, because I went a bit shorter on the Wednesday. I did an hour, 4:14s, out at Mulligan's again. Friday morning, before we headed to the coast, I just did a Mulligan's loop, 4:29s, because then that afternoon, so I drove down to the coast, had about an hour before I met up with Matt Johnson for a session. We did a 20-minute tempo, had like 3 minutes sort of jog, and then just did 5 30-second reps. So the warm-up was rubbish. Like my back and hamstring were pretty bad. But then once I stopped, did a few drills, did a few strides, I had actually no pain during the session, and felt like I was moving okay. But then as soon as we started cooling down again, everything was pretty locked up. So I averaged 320s for the 20-minute tempo, which most of it's on gravel, has a few undulations, so it's not a super quick loop. And then the 30-second reps were off a minute recovery, and they were, let me have a look, like 249, 238, 240, 237, 241. So yeah, it was a pretty good session considering I haven't really been doing any sessions for a month. I did that session actually, when was it? It was end of March. And so Matt actually came out and rode the bike that day. And yeah, it was about a 4.75K loop. I think I was about 30 seconds quicker back then than I was on Friday. So, that's to be expected.
That was his session or your session, or you? Who changed for who?
No, that was his. That was the session that I had down for him to do. So I just jumped in. Yep.
And what shoes did you wear?
I had my old 4% on. Mm-hmm. I banged up ones because I was as you know, I've got a fair few newish pairs of racing shoes or super shoes, but because of the gravel and stuff, I thought I'll just wear my old 4%. It was either that or the I warmed up in the New Balance Fuel Cell Rebels, because that was actually the shoe that I wore for that tempo on the Tuesday out at Mulligan's with that progression run. So yeah, had the old 4% that I've done about between 400 and 500K.
Why'd you warm up in the Rebel? Isn't that like a race and flat?
I find sometimes I just move a little bit better in a lighter shoe. So and I took down to the coast peg 37s, those and the 4%. So anyway, so that was that.
Before you move on, Brad, why are you humming away in the background there, Moose?
Or just
Why are you going like when he's talking about these shoes?
Something
you disagree with?
In my head, I'm like, you fucking love running, right, Brad? Like, you love running, yes or no?
Not as much as I used to.
You love running. You've got a cupboard full of brand new shoes, state of the art, fresh. Yet you're using a beat up pair of 4% that are 400K in. You are the definition of a running tight ass, right here.
Yeah. Okay. If this tempo was on full road, then I would have wore a different pair of shoes. But I'm like, well, what's the point?
But are you saying you'd rather damage your body than the shoes?
Well, I'm not damaging my body. My body's already damaged.
Well, you're not helping your body yet.
Don't you get excited by having a shoe? Like a new shoe to put on to test out, to see how it feels, and like the feeling of having fresh foam under your foot.
Yeah.
That
I don't get as excited as you about that.
Really not, because I'm thinking, you've told me how many shoes you have in your cupboard that you're just sitting there, and then you're not even using them. And they're fucking given to you.
Well, you don't buy them. Say that, tomorrow, I will be putting on a brand new pair of shoes.
That's good.
Straight out of the box.
This is the content I want.
Yeah, so the New Balance marathon racing shoe. That's the one I'll be putting on tomorrow.
Call it by its name, mate. The Fuel Cell Racer Elite.
That's the one. I haven't quite decided yet what session it's going to be, but I'll be using it on tomorrow's session and also Friday.
Good to hear. I bet you come out of it feeling inspired too.
I hope so.
Just has a great week of training after it now.
So Saturday morning I went out to what's the name of the road? It's not running, like it's where we do our long runs, but you can go off Ross Ridge Road. So I'd never actually run that far out there before. So that was reasonably hilly, 180 metres over sort of 10K. I started running. My back was not good Saturday morning. Even after having been up for ages, I started running and it was like super, super sore. So I actually just stopped and I did some skipping and some drills and some just running on the spot until it sort of loosened up a little bit. And then it was pretty ordinary for the first maybe 5 or 6K, and then it loosened off and then felt pretty good. So 45 minutes, 4:15s, and then that afternoon just kept it really flat, just started at Bateman's Bay at the bridge, ran sort of south down towards Batehaven for 4K and back. So 4:18s, and it's like dead flat. So that was Saturday, and then Sunday met Matt again for the long run. So we did Runnyford Road. So this is the one that I've done the last few times I've been down the coast, like when Josh Johnson and stuff like that. So it's always a tough run just because of the hills, and you're either sort of going up or down. There's not a lot of flat section, and ended up going hour 45, so 25k, 4:13s, felt absolutely rubbish till for about 90 minutes. Or no, probably 80 minutes, and then actually started to feel pretty good over the back end. So 121K for the week, two sessions. I have my good days, have my bad days, but keep turning up.
Croaks is back, ladies and gents, I reckon. This is the turning point here. String three or four of those weeks together and you'll be back in 65 shape.
He just told you that he spent 90 minutes feeling shit on his long run.
Yeah, just trying to build a positivity moose.
Yeah, I was just so
maybe
my
if we say it enough, it will just put what will start happening.
What does Croaks think is going to happen with his body? What do you think is the likely outcome here? Do you feel like in 4 weeks everything's going to click and come together and it'll just be moving, or do you think in 4 weeks things are going to go downhill? What's the odds?
I think if I stick at it, it's more likely to come good than deteriorate, because it's like, it's not getting any worse. Like, and I was pretty much in the same situation earlier this year, like January. And then remember I said, I'm just like, stuff it. I don't care how shit my body is or how bad I feel. I'm just going to string together 100 days in a row. And I actually had a pretty good patch during that period. So I'm hoping that the more running I do, the stronger my body gets, which then starts to mean that I have less sort of back pain. But, I guess we'll see. But no, I'll keep getting out the door every day and hopefully stick to that sort of 120K a week. I won't be getting up to 100 miles, that sort of thing. 120 to 130 is pretty much all I'll be targeting.
Got any races coming back in Canberra, Brad? New South Wales starting to pop up a few?
Isn't there some Masters races on soon?
Yeah, they had a race around the lake the other day. In Canberra?
Oh, in Canberra, yeah. That's run by, like the YMCA.
Yeah, Runners Club or something?
Yeah.
Chinmoy, there's one of those coming up, I reckon.
Oh, there's a 100K race in Canberra on the weekend. People do it either solo or part of a relay. But to be honest, I don't really have any interest in racing at the moment. So, yeah. So no, I will.
See, Clifford and Logan are up there now, two new kings in Canberra.
Yeah.
You bumped into them yet?
No.
You don't just see people in the street up there, bump into them, say g'day? No.
Oh, really? Canberra's a pretty big place.
Yeah. Probably be Clifford bumping into you anyway.
Oh, great call, Moose.
Oh, Moose.
Clifford be smoking Croaks, I reckon. Wouldn't want to jump into a session with him. My week? No,
boys have spent 2 weeks in a hotel room there.
They're out now, though. They're out. I was thinking about coming up your way, Croaks. Just do some, about to have a long weekend or something in the school holidays coming up.
You?
Yeah, get out of Moama, New South Wales side, do a bit of a road trip. Thought Canberra might be on the bucket list. Come through.
Sounds good.
Tow you up for a few days and come home.
Yeah, I'll be injured those days.
Check out Mulligan's. Anyway, I'll go through my week, eh?
Go for it.
I was pretty tired out of recovery week this week off the back of that 65-20 half marathon last week, Brad. So I really had to respect that. You two boys probably wouldn't know what it feels like to run a 65-20. So just really had to bounce back, let the legs come back. 10K at 4:36 in the morning, Monday. 8K at 4:41 in the afternoon. Just kind of, I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I get in as many Ks as I kind of can. And usually split like, 10, 11, 12 in the morning and then 8 to 10 in the afternoon, just because I can't really get a hour or an hour 10 for the one run. So Tuesday I did 11K at 4:40, 30 minutes Tuesday afternoon at 4:44. So my average pace for those 2 days is pretty slow. Wednesday I was feeling a bit better, did 10K at 4:34 in the morning, 8K in the afternoon, 4:29. And then turned a page a bit Thursday, 9K in the morning at 4:32s. And then did 14K and 8 by 20 second strides at the end of it. Like got home, changed into some lighter shoes, and then just did strides out the front and just felt a million bucks afterwards. Like the first couple, still a bit sketchy, but then afterwards, it's amazing how much better you feel just after opening up with a couple of strides. Especially when you've been battling a bit of soreness for a couple of days. Friday, 16K. This was nearly lunchtime. Carly's mum, who cares for Hudson, for an hour on a Friday when I tried to sneak out for a run, didn't get there till about 11, so I got out for 16K at 4:21s and then 7K in the afternoon. And then Saturday, tried a session. I was feeling better off the back of those strides and thought a bit of the fatigue had kind of gone out of the legs and warmed up. It felt good, and it was a session of like continuous 3 minutes at 3:10, 2 minutes at 3:05, 1 minute at 3 minutes. And considering I ran 21K at probably close or quicker than that a week before, I thought that session would be pretty easy. But after the first two sets of it, so what's that, probably 6 minutes in, like I really needed to use that last 3 minutes to kind of recover. So I couldn't get it down to like 3:10 pace, ended up hitting 3:18s. Just had to just catch a breath and just kind of get a bit of rhythm back before punching that last 2 minutes and 1 minute. So all up, it was 18 minutes, 5.8K at 3:07 pace. But like straight away when I finished, my like left quad was just like, just sore and kind of like, Everyone all right there, boys?
That was me. Apologies.
That's all right. Left quad was a bit sore and stuff, but just kind of thought, it wasn't like injury sore, just like tight kind of thing. Sunday, Father's Day. Brad, Father's Day. You didn't mention Father's Day in yours, did you?
No, I didn't.
Got to mention these things now that we're fathers.
Father's Day.
Father's Day. Went out Barmer by myself. The plan was to do 25K, but got took a wrong turn. 25 turned into 32. Actually made two bad decisions here. First one was a wrong turn, and then the second one I thought, because it was getting a bit hot, it was like 20 degrees up here, and there's often like snakes and stuff out there. So I thought I'd take the road back instead of like this single track bush track, which would have been a bit risky. Because if you get bitten by a snake out there and you go down, like no one's finding you for 2 or 3 weeks, I reckon. It's good when Arch.
How long you run out there for? You run out there for years, right?
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah. But well, why'd I take the wrong turn? Yeah, we kind of got a few loops and stuff, but and if anyone looks at my map on Strava, if you zoom in, you can see where all these roads are, and you can see the one that I took kind of turns into like 7K until I hit the river, and there's a couple that are kind of, they cut through, and I thought I was on one of those ones, but I was kind of running in the wrong direction. It's just like a maze out there, you just get lost, and then I just had to hit the river and then follow the river back. But anyway, 32K at 4:13s, which, for a recovery week was probably a bit too big. 147Ks. Body's feeling better today. Monday we're recording this on, and had a few couple of easy jogs today and haven't felt that quad since then, but still going to have one more easy week before returning back to Moose's programming. So it's good. Just got to pick a next goal now. Not sure what we're going to do. I think we might get on the track if we can get over the border into Victoria, get to Bendigo and Shepparton and things like that, but probably just take it easy for a few weeks.
Not a lot of direction coming out of the associations around getting back on the track, mate.
It's funny because when you say that, I was just fully talking about just organising time trials to get on the track. I wasn't even thinking that the federations are going to organise anything. I've got a bit of hope that New South Wales and ACT, and I've got to probably start embracing the fact that I'm on the New South Wales side of the border here. And even if the state borders open up between South Australia and New South Wales, like I know they've got their track 10K in like October. So it'd be good to kind of go over there and try to get sucked along, because they've obviously got some depth over there. So there's a couple of options for me to maybe get in a race. Do you reckon Canberra Marathon will happen, Brad?
I don't think so. Like, largely because of the, I guess, the company that put it on, the expenses are huge for these events, like shutting down roads. I don't know if we've spoken about it the previous week, but like shutting down the roads and just all the other costs associated with it. So if they can't, I guess, open up entries to the whole country, or particularly like a lot of Victorians come up for Canberra Marathon, if they can't get those people up here, I don't see it being worth their while to put it on.
It's only like 5 or 6 weeks away too, isn't it?
November.
That's November. I thought that was October for some reason.
But then, even then, like a marathon in Canberra in November.
Yeah.
Like it's. I remember I did a 10K fun run here early November, and it was on this new park, like this new road that heads out to the airport. 5K out, 5K back. It was over 30 degrees by like 8:30. Like other events around the city got cancelled. There's this other like sort of long distance triathlon that got canned. I ran like 35 minutes and was absolutely cooked because of how hot it was. And that was the start of November. So the idea of running a marathon is, it wouldn't be much fun in Canberra in November.
Yeah, I think Sydney, you reckon it's the same? I think I've pretty much got a line through marathon now. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'd save it for next year.
Yeah.
There'll be some. Surely next year there'll be some stuff open up.
Marathon wise.
Yeah. Like local stuff. I don't know. I reckon everyone will be pushing for it. And by how we're going, like, I mean, in Victoria, we're going pretty well in terms of sort of dropping the case numbers lately anyway, the last week or so. Sort of we're all on track to reopen a bit later in the year. And then that might give us access to other states, hopefully.
Melbourne still hasn't cancelled yet, has it? Is that still open? October?
Surely it's.
I haven't seen anywhere on social media that it's officially cancelled yet. I think everyone assumes it's cancelled, but I'm not sure that they've made a call yet.
I think they're going to have the call made for them.
Yeah. Maybe they're waiting for that. Let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Kick us off, Bradley.
All right, I've got Andrew O'Brien. Andrew is from North Holland. The town is Ijmuiden. Is that how you'd pronounce it, boys?
Yep, good work.
Is that right? He's a member of 172 different Strava clubs. Did you count these, Brady?
Yeah, well, first I started counting them, and I thought, you know what? Multiplication's going to be better than addition here, so I counted how many rows there were, times it by six, and then I think I added it by another four that were down the bottom.
Good man. Yeah. His 5K best is 20:50. He's run 42:43 for 10K and an hour 40 and 10 seconds for the half marathon, which he did at the Halve van Haarlem in September 2019. Check his Strava for some good animal photos he has snapped when out running. So thanks for your support, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. All the way over there in the Netherlands.
Andrew.
I always wonder how people on the other side of the world find out about our podcast.
Yeah, well, he's pretty close to Norway there. Probably a bit of drift across.
Who you got, Moose?
I got Dilwyn Powell Jones. Is that how you pronounce that name?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Dilwyn.
D-I-L-W-Y-N. Dilwyn. It's a pretty cool name, isn't it?
It's not a common name. It's not a common here, is it? Dilwyn.
It's pretty unique, though. I like it.
Okay. He's from Carnarvon. No, that's not right. Maybe it was right. Carnarvon in Gwynedd in Great Britain. God, we get some tricky ones.
I'm glad you. Gwynedd. Well, I normally always get them. I'm glad you got this week.
Carnarvon, which is in Gwynedd in Great Britain. Where are these people living? Great Britain is England, isn't it? Surely it should be like Torquay. Brighton and all that. 1702 5K, 33.35 10K, 119.07 half marathon. That's not very strong compared to his other two. I reckon he could go quicker. He's recently had his second child and a few running injuries. Seems to enjoy nature, going by his Strava photos. He won the Nick Beer 10K in March 2020 in 34.52. May still enjoy taking photos of birds. Big back in 2011, enjoyed taking photos of birds. Are we talking like wildlife birds, or he likes taking photo of women?
No, wildlife birds. I'll look back in his Facebook page, and there's like photos, and like his caption would be like, very first time I've seen one of these in the wild, and like I'd have a photo of it and stuff.
What sort of birds? Like parrots or small birds or big eagles? Or
nah, there was one with like a bit of red on its peak. Yeah, I don't know what it was called. But yeah, but smaller birds. Like, yeah.
Smaller birds.
Thanks, okay. Dylan, for your support.
Dylan. Jonesy, we'll call him.
Probably got the longest Patreon thanks in the history of the Inside Run podcast, with Moose stumbling through some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Ben Ray from Auckland in New Zealand. He ran hard to find much on Ben, actually. Ran an hour 25 at the Run Hackney Half Marathon back in 2014. He's also ran 2:56 for the marathon. Not sure where that was at. His Strava was pretty locked down. He has averaged 74 Ks per week for the last month, though. Maybe an aircraft pilot. There's a Ben Ray who previously used to drive or fly aeroplanes for Air New Zealand. This is unconfirmed, but it may explain why all his stuff's locked down, because he's a airline pilot, boys. Maybe. Ben Ray, thanks for your support. All internationals this week. Thanks for supporting our podcast, guys. We obviously don't have any backing from any federations or big sponsors or anything like that, so the show of the people, you guys keep it alive.
Is that a sledge at the Norway one?
Oh, no, it wasn't. No. I actually heard Will Anderson. I was listening to his podcast today, and he was plugging Patreon before he started, and he was kind of saying how he doesn't get backed by any media businesses or anything like that. He relies on the people to produce the content, and we're the same over here at Inside Running. So I thought we should mention that on this week's show. So, okay. Christian from Norway, that was not a sledge at you. All right, what are we talking about, boys? Moose, tell us about Matthew Ramsden to kick things off.
Oh, yeah. So that little, like, so I just watched the race, actually. While you're doing your week, it was much more enjoyable than listening to your week.
Surprise. You should be listening to my week. I'm the only one doing anything on this podcast at the moment.
No, I did watch the race on my phone, and that's where that little flash of sound come through. But
you're not meant to admit these things.
It was good. He smashed it. He ran 3:51. 3:51.23. He was in Milan in Italy. Pretty small, sort of low-key sort of race by the looks of the footage. Had this big sort of finish line, like inflatable arch at pretty low kind of profile meet. A lot of people close to the track cheering. It was perfectly paced by the looks of it. Ryan Gregson also finished just behind Ramsden. He was second, I think. Oh, no, third. And he ran 3:52.38. So two big runs there. 3:51, I think you sort of mentioned, a 3:33 to 3:34 1500 equivalent. Brady?
Yeah, I told you that last night working out my maths, but I think I did read on Twitter today that someone had found like the official split. And I think it might have been a bit slower. Brad, are you good at maths? What's that equivalent to 1500?
I'm not sure.
Fucking calculators. I thought you did this properly.
Man, I had five beers and I was sitting. I pretty much said to you, just take off.
Why do I ask you?
Don't ask me these questions on a Sunday afternoon. Stop annoying me. I'm just trying to enjoy my Sunday, and you start firing me questions.
This is poor form. Anyway,
all you need to know is it's fast. He's in shape, and him, Gregson, and Stewie are going to be after that Aussie record.
Just pat it out of your Moose, and I'll finally
in 1500. That is.
Well, it takes him to third all-time on Australian all-time rankings list. He's behind Simon Doyle and Craig Mottram. So both of those guys went under 3:50. And, yeah, that's the mile. So, I mean, most of the events before, I don't know, what was it, like the mid-70s or so, they ran the mile. Even the late 70s are running the mile a lot in Europe. So that's pretty cool that he's sort of sitting right up there now. He took out Jeff Risley. He's at fourth now. And Ryan Gregson ran just off his PB. So he was only like, oh, what's that? 0.14 off his mile PB. So it's a great sign for Gregson. And yeah, so the in Ostrava coming up on Tuesday, it's going to, I think it's like 2 in the morning or something. Let me just make sure of that.
Why do you reckon Stewie didn't run this one?
I don't know that. I don't know.
And why did they run this and not Brussels Diamond League 1500? Do you know, Moose?
Don't know that either.
So Jakob just smashed everyone there. That was I've got the conversions here. What do you reckon it was? Or was their split through 1500?
Well, I reckon I kind of feel like it's faster than what you were saying. Low 333.
Nah, 336.
Really?
336 for Ramsden, 336.6 for Gregson.
Is that the conversion or what they actually...
No, that's their split.
Yeah, but you also got to remember that...
Manual 1,500-meter splits.
At this level, they often close really quick. So the difference is that if that was a 1,500-meter race, from 1,400 to 1,500 would have been a hell of a lot quicker, whereas they've closed that last 100 super quick.
Not like they're jogging with 200 to 100.
But I reckon they close that last 100 pretty quick. Were they closing in then 15 seconds if through 336.
That's for 109 meters though.
Yeah, 109 meters. Yeah.
What I would be more interested in is the conversion of that 351. So I'm going to do that now because you've just so someone else take over.
Just going back a little bit, I love the fact that Monday night is the one opportunity for Moose to find out what his athlete's been doing all week training.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking that as well.
And he watches a video instead.
Yeah. That's cool. Doesn't give me any kudos on Strava. Doesn't know what I'm doing.
Is he my athlete this week?
No, I'm not paying him for 2 weeks, Brad. I'm on recovery week.
I'm tuned out, mate.
He's doing this out of spite then.
Yeah. Said to me, you want a program? I said, nah, wait for me legs to bounce back after that 65-20. Takes a while to come down from those heights, Brad. We'll talk. You work out that conversion. We're going to talk about Brad. This 1 hour world record at the Brussels Diamond League, the men's and the women's went down. I was trying to think today. I watched a bit of the highlight package. I don't know if I've ever watched a hour track race before. I reckon they were before my time when Hayley Gabrielsi set the world record in 2007, I think it was. You would have been a fan of the sport then, Brad. Can you remember it happening back then?
No. And to be honest, like, does this news excite you at all? Like,
no.
Yeah, like, I'm... Yeah. To me, it's a pretty... Well, I don't know about soft world record because still anything that's been... A record that's been held by... Gebrselassie is obviously decent, but based on how quick guys are running the marathon now, like I don't think it was like super, super impressive from Farah. Like, yeah,
that's why I said it, because I can't remember it happening, because they just don't happen that often. So, and like it was a bit weak, although he broke the world record. He ran 59:28 for the half marathon split. Which wouldn't have won Prague Half Marathon, which we'll talk about in a second, on the roads kind of thing. And, like, you know, the track and roads, it's pretty common that the track time's actually quicker, isn't it?
It's a bit I reckon it's different once it gets to that distance. Mm. Like, yeah, it's flat.
After 10K.
Yeah.
Probably the mental aspect of the hour on the track would be tough.
Yeah, true.
You didn't watch it, did you? A full hour.
No, I watched the like summary video. How did you see the thing of Gebrselassie getting around? What are those things called? The holograph? No. You know what I'm talking about?
Hologram?
Yeah. Remember when they did that for Tupac at Coachella? Remember that?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That's what it was like. I had him running in lane 3, just like, yeah. And he dropped him for a while there, and then they pulled him back and kicked away from him.
And
you needed that for the half last weekend, Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
My hologram.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Would have put another 30 seconds in here, I reckon. Anyway.
Sifan Hassan, she broke the world record for the ladies too. She ran 3:10 pace. So she ran 76s for the hour, basically, average 76s. Come out to roughly a 66:52 half marathon.
Which that's Bridget, nothing special for her, is it?
No, it's a world record, so let's pay it.
Paid.
Yeah, so that happened too, the same race. The mile, 351.23 is exactly the equivalent of a 1500, 334.25.
Oh, so they have kicked it home, Croaks, in that last 109.
Yeah. So don't go giving out 1500 splits. No one's taken the fucking 800 split and talking about it either. It's a mile race. Race to the finish, Brady.
What's Ramsden's PB, Moose?
Fucking hell. Why you put me on the spot like that?
334 would be close to it at the moment, wouldn't it?
It'd be close. I reckon you're in 333, right?
I don't know.
No, he didn't go that quick.
I think it was 334.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's your call. I don't know the answer.
We'll find out during the show.
We don't want to hide at this tonight. So Hassan and Mo Farah both set the world records over there. See, what's her name got disqualified? Kozgai for stepping on the rail. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's a fatigue thing, I reckon, surely. It's like, you're just getting tired after an hour. You just, tune out for a little bit and all of a sudden, bang, foot outside.
I don't think she even went outside. I think she just hit the rail. Rail, DQ'd, bang. It's pretty harsh after being on the track for, I think she was 58 minutes in or something. Anyway, that could be wrong, those stats. Prague half marathon. Moose, tell me why everyone in this race is just wearing Adidas's.
Oh, Adidas. Adidas set up by the looks of it. Looks like they're sort of sponsored and said, hey, this is our deal. We're going to set this up elite race only. We don't want mass participants. We just want to see world records. And that's what they got. They got a ladies only world record. So Adidas have a new shoe out. I've never seen it, so I can't comment on it. But the women only world record of 65.34 for Paris Chepchechir at Prague. And Kibiwot Candy wins the men's race in 58.30. So that's pretty good going. There's some pretty sharp times. They put together some pretty good athletes here for this race, 16 and a half laps of a 1,280-meter course. It was basically just invite only to Adidas elites.
Have you had any intel about the new Adidas super shoe?
No.
We, can you get it in Australia? I know you're not stocking it, but can you get it anywhere in Australia?
I'm not sure whether Adidas are in any running specialty stores in Australia anymore. Maybe a couple. I'm just not aware of it. I know they've really, I can't comment because I don't stock them. I don't even have an account. I've never seen them in our store. They've never contacted me to try to be in our store. So I don't know. I can't tell you.
Anyway, that worked for Paris over there, getting that women's only world record, 65.34. Queensland cross country champs as well. Lewis McAfee got the win up there, and Kara Woolno, back from Utah. That's all I know. Tried to find some times. I know Tim Vincent was second and Jude Thomas was third in the men's, but couldn't find a second and third. Queensland Athletics yet to update their results. So apologies if you were second or third in that women's race up there, but good to see cross country state champs is back there. And Joshua Cheptegei. Brad, what's he doing next?
He's going to have a crack at Bekele's 10,000-meter world record of 26.17. So he's going to do that in Valencia on October 7.
He'll do it, I think. Do you boys reckon?
Brave man to back against him, considering he's just broken the 5. And, I guess Bekele was good at cross country and had the strength, but Cheptegei, he's demonstrated he's a pretty strong runner himself.
Tipping a world record, how often do world records go down? Rarely. I know Cheptegei's been popping them off quite often, but still, it's the least likely thing to happen versus not breaking the record. So I'm going to go he doesn't break the record.
26.17. You think if he slows his 5 down to 13 minutes, though, he should be jogging through there.
Yeah. Imagine that, slowing your 5K down to 30.
Yeah.
We'll just add 30 seconds to it. That's 13.05. And he's still going to be under by 7 seconds.
True.
You add 30 seconds to your 5K.
Well, it's normally, for the top guys, it's often double your 5K and add a minute for the 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right. I can do it. He's doing it at Valencia, Brad. Your favourite place to talk about.
Yeah.
I ran past that track. Have you been there? No. Have you been there, Bruce?
No.
I think Ali's been there. Someone's been there. Yeah, she would have went there for that. At the
World Half.
Yeah, yeah. The course is right near where the marathon and the half and stuff went. It's like in this old riverbed. It's a beautiful track. Where he's going to do it at. Anyway.
Hard to find paces for that, surely.
Yeah.
That'll be the key, is who they get pacing, how even it is, and how long the paces can help him out. Because, you know, with the 5K, he only had to do, you know, what, 4 laps on his own?
Nah, it was more than that, wasn't it?
How legal is this?
Six.
Say someone goes out and runs 3K and 7:50 or whatever you need to hit it, right? 7:45, I'm not sure. And then they go, all right, well, I need to have 2 laps jog now. And then they jog to recover. Can they repace him for another 2K or so in that same race and it still be okay?
I don't think so. I've thought about this in the past, and I think somebody who knows told me that, like, it's not in the best interest of the sports or something like that. Yeah, because you know how to leave the track. You know how to have people coming in and out. That's what you're getting at, aren't you?
Well, not in and out, but they're still running the race. They're just sort of recovering from that first effort that they made.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get you. Stewie should take him through 5K.
Yeah, well, might get an Australian record.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, Moose, last bit of news. Oh, actually, we've got some Steigen results quickly whiz through, but tell us about the Athletics Australia High Performance Coach. This is your mate, Christian Malcolm. This is the guy that called you, isn't it?
He did, actually. Yeah, that was one of his jobs, I guess. I don't think he had a lot of jobs, but that was definitely one of them. He was a good fella. I liked him. Got on well. Always, he was friendly as, good chat, knew who I was. For some reason he liked me. I remember he always stopped to chat to me and we had some good chats. But no, he's going back to the UK to take up a position there, maybe head coach or something, right?
Yeah, I think similar position but for UK athletes.
Yeah, so he's gone. I'm not sure what's going on with his son and everything. Yeah, a bit of chat about whether this is the kind of position that actually influences athletics in Australia at all, or whether it's just a bit of a fluff position. It's probably big salaries involved that take money away from athletes in Athletics Australia. And I guess there's a bit of a, I don't know that much intricately about Athletics Australia and how the high performance system works, but I guess you got to sort of wonder, like, how much of an influence can someone like that make when most of the athletes already have their individual coaches who are very high level coaches anyway, and they're training within high level squads. Do they need someone overlooking all this as well as a head coach and a president of Athletics Australia? I'm not sure whether we need to sort of be spending so much money of a limited budget on basically just like the officials, I guess, or the bureaucrats. Yeah.
So he was, yeah. So you'd obviously know more about this than Brad and I. Like I've never heard his name.
I reckon Brad knows about this because he's been more associated with the AIS and everything than I have.
Yeah, but so his position is head of high performance and coaching. So that for you, you're a high performance athlete and a high performance coach with Ali. So does he ring you up and say, hey, can I have a look at her programs or offer advice? Or what does that look like for you as a high-performance coach?
He's involved in some Zoom calls that discuss Ali's path, I guess, that where like a dietitian's been involved and the strength coach and myself, who else has been involved in that? Maybe like... I'm not sure. Like I think he oversees the coaching structure as well. But yeah, I've never sort of had phone calls from him about Ali or anything. He sat in on a Zoom call once. That was it. Yeah, I'm not sure how hands on his in that regard. I mean, he calls people when they get selected. That's a fun part of his job. But I'm not sure whether he's like calling to I know a lot of the athletes getting a lot of sort of mental health calls at the moment to say, hi, how are you going? Like, are you struggling mentally with this? But not a lot of like performance related chat.
And then, like, so you would have had experience with him at Doha. Is that what you're talking about when you were chatting to him?
Yeah. He was at the AIS facility in Gavarate as well with the rest of the team.
And then when you're leading up to Doha, like, does he check in with, because you're self-coach, like, check how you're going with your training and stuff? Is that what it means? Might just listen to the podcast every week.
The funny thing is, and in that position, there was the marathon coach, okay, which was Brent Valance. So he was basically in charge of he took a real interest in me, helped me a lot. And every discipline had a coach associated to them. And then there was the head coach, which was Craig Hilliard. And, I mean, I didn't talk to him about anything. Except trying to get some funds, but it didn't work. And then there was Christian, who's the high performance director. I'm not sure how him and Craig differed in their roles. Like, I didn't notice much difference there. Christian seemed to be helping the sprinters a lot, maybe just because that's where his expertise is. Like, I saw him on the track being more hands-on with the sprinters for sure. I'm not sure, like, he got involved in the distance runners at all, because we already had our individual coaches as well as our specialist coaches.
What kind of money are they on a year, Brad, these kind of jobs? When you were working for Swim in Australia, you would have had a bit to do with this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like, you're talking in the hundreds of thousands.
100,000?
So, like, from what I experienced at Swimming Australia, the difference between, like, the head of high performance and the head coach was the head of high performance and coaching would have more of a strategic, like, that they would deal more with, all right, where is our money going to be spent in the high performance department? Whereas the head coach, one, is the face of the team at major championships, and two, probably spends more time on the ground visiting, like, they used to call them like podium centres. So, like, the big squads all around the country. Yeah, and there's about 10 of them. So the head coach would be working closely with those top coaches at each podium, whereas, yeah, the high performance, head of high performance is more of a strategic position in terms of, all right, we have this bucket of high performance money, how are we going to allocate it and how are we going to get best bang for our buck?
Right.
Yeah. But it's hard. But the problem with athletics is there is no big pool of money compared to what swimming would have had. Pardon the pun.
There would be a bigger pool, though, if it's $1,000 plus salaries for potential, like, wishy-washy positions.
Yeah, no, like these positions, you're on a good salary when you get up to that level.
You should apply for it, Moose. This would be a great job for you, man of the people.
I'm good at wishy-washy positions too.
Yeah, you'd be good.
Co-director of Run Strong Online Coaching.
Yeah.
Gee, that's good. That'd look good on a resume, wouldn't it?
Yeah, put that on the resume, put Coach Valley Pashley on there. Who else you coach? You coach any other fast people you put on the resume?
Archie Reed.
Chuck him on there.
Who is fast? You're pretty fast, but you're not elite fast. That's the problem.
Christian Malcolm ain't calling me over the years. Give you the old tip. Yeah, interesting. And he, I think he broke his contract too, didn't he? Wasn't he meant to get us through to like 2021 Tokyo?
Yeah, but I mean, fuck me. It's so much going on. The guy probably just wants to get back to Great Britain.
Yeah, I get that.
And you got a good position there too, like in his home country. That's sort of, yeah.
Do you think it'd be weird being, after you've been involved in athletics yourself, representing one country, to then be the head of high performance and coaching of another country that you compete against, your home country?
Yeah, I always found it strange when the old cricket coaches used to go and coach in India or like England. Who was it? That one of them was like the specialist bowling coach for England, and they were sort of teaching reverse swing and everything. And I was like, oh, we got destroyed in that series because of fucking reverse swing. And someone from Australia taught him how to do it.
Tapping in swimming too.
Yeah, and cycling. Yeah. Remember 2012, London? England just won all the medals after taking our coaches.
Yeah, I guess it's money talks.
Yeah, cash money talking about.
Grant Hackett's old coach. He went and was coaching the Chinese.
Big cash money out of China. Big cash money.
Yeah, you know Renato Canova went and coached the Chinese marathon team or the Chinese distance runners. You remember that?
Yeah, it does ring a bell now you mention it.
And then he took him to Kenya. He battled, he struggled with it. He said they were just shit.
Yeah, right.
I love how we just went down this massive rabbit hole just talking shit then about something we probably don't know that much about.
that's a good punchline for our business.
How is that different?
We've made a podcast out of that every week for the last 149 weeks, Croaks, is what we do. Talking about cash money, Steigen. Jack Bruce got the $2,000 US over there for running 358. Dom actually sent this through to me today. Quite documented, thanks, Dom, after you murdered a couple of details last week when you sent him through. And Brad, female's winner?
Yeah, Lyndon Hall got the win there. She ran 429.28.
Well, Lyndon's picking up some cash there. Was she going to Europe, Brad, you know?
No idea.
Hey, that's all for news. We might skip listening to question because we've got Ali Pashley waiting for us to put her in there. You boys happy with that?
Oh, I got one thing left.
Oh, moose on the loose. Sorry, I actually did something
this time. First time I've done anything.
You start going there and then I'll get Ali in.
Me. She's saying, what the fuck's going on? Yeah. Got to watch The Bachelor. So I've made a list of things that I really noticed this week when I stopped running. And I thought that a lot of people could empathize with this. So this is what runners think when they're not running that I picked up on. Looking at every single road that you drive past and assessing it for its function as a workout location. Who's done that?
Yeah.
You've done that.
You know, another good time to do that is when you go out collecting wood. And then you're driving home from collecting wood and you just look at every like stump on the side of the road in the bush thinking, oh, that bit looks good as well. I probably should stop and pull that one in.
Yeah, I do only collect wood legally though.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
Collection zones only, Brady.
I did that on the long run yesterday with Matt actually saying, oh, like wood. This part, no, not collecting wood, but I said, oh yeah, this section here would be really good for like tempo followed by some hills. So yeah.
Yep.
I do it even when I'm not injured.
True. You just do it more when you're not running. Secretly being jealous as fuck when you see other runners running. Or going along, seeing someone running and being like, oh, hate you. My stomach has formed proper poop for the first time in 4 years.
Don't need to know those details. Could have left that one out.
When you run, the mastication and the mechanical churning of your gut, it just creates like problems, right? It's my whole bowel system's changed since I stopped running in 1 week. Showers have become a contentious point, as in you always knew when you needed to shower when you run, morning and night. You shower following a run. Now, if you shower like after a surf or something midday, do you need to shower again? I don't know. It's a question. Because I would normally shower after my second run, but I just don't know. No, I've got energy to do other activities now, like whippersnippering. I whippersnippered the backyard, and that would never, ever, ever happen when I'm running. Sleeping. I sleep so much better when I don't run. This is a strange one to me. Like I can actually put my head down, not think about anything, and just fall asleep straight away. That's running is actually like a cause of insomnia for me. I've worked that out. I don't know why. My foot health is recovering. Like my foot skin and nails and everything, like the Venice waterways did without tourists due to COVID. I'm funny man. The washing basket's empty now. I always used to get two lots of running clothes, especially through winter. I'm not hungry 22 hours of the day. My memories of what it feels like to run have disappeared. Now that's a crazy one. Like today I was just thinking, oh, I'm trying to remember what it feels like to run. It's been a week and I can't even remember like the movement of running and like the feel of it. I just thought that was so bizarre that it, like I just forgot about it so quickly.
And even when you then start back after, like, if you take a week off, although you haven't lost any fitness, because you've lost that sort of neuromuscular motor pattern, it does feel a bit foreign.
Yeah. You're like, what do I do with my arms? How much do I swing my arms? And like the realization that your body is just full on robotically specific for running. And anytime you try to do some sort of other activity, it complains quickly. Like you just run so much that your muscle patterns and your muscle strength is so designed for running that say like you go for a bike ride or you try to lift something or you go surfing and all of a sudden these muscles that have laid dormant for years and years and years are like, hold on, we're not supposed to be doing this stuff. Anyway.
Good news.
He's come in prepared tonight, hasn't he, Brad?
Yes.
That's a good little section.
I guess that's another thing that he can
extra
actually
time.
Comes in prepared for podcasts.
Oh, comes in prepared, yeah. I did this the other day. I thought, oh, this is some good stuff. This is good content.
Oh, make some notes.
This episode of the Inside Running Podcast is sponsored by New Balance, helping athletes find their better. The New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite is the brand's pinnacle lightweight racing shoe within the Fuel Cell collection and provides the flagship expression of how runner data and cutting-edge design visually comes to life, all in one lightweight and sophisticated package. Pairing the high-rebound foam of a Fuel Cell midsole with the efficiency of a carbon fiber plate, this racing flat provides next-level energy return plus strategic support in dynamic conditions. New Balance's precision-driven obsession to learn from runners' data has a personality in the new Fuel Cell RC Elite, a smart choice for half to full marathon racing.
Ali Pashley, I reckon you've just sat through all of Moose on the Loose there without interrupting. You did a fantastic job. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, no worries. I've heard a lot of things already. I actually did have a little giggle at the one where you said how angry you get when you see other people running.
Oh, yeah. I've been angry at you. Don't worry.
Yeah, I was thinking back to when I was injured and you see people running on Instagram and running around the streets and you're just, yeah, jealous. Yeah.
Just shut the fuck up already. We get it, you're running.
Hey, Ali, thanks for coming on. Thanks to New Balance Australia for making you available for the Inside Running Podcast tonight. It's good to have you on for a bit of an update. People that haven't heard you on Road to Nowhere the last 25 weeks, I think it is, you're in for a bit of a treat. Hearing what's been happening in the life of Ali Pashley the last couple of weeks and her build up for London Marathon in, I think, just under 4 weeks' time. Have I got that right?
Yeah, it is. Yep, under 4 weeks now. So the poor old Road to Nowhere listeners are probably sick of hearing about every single run I've done, but yeah, it'll be good for the people that don't listen.
They're not sick of you, they're sick of the other bloke on there. You and Joel handle yourself well.
A few of them might be panicking here, but we have found a good replacement for Road to Nowhere this week. So, don't go panicking. Got any questions written down for Ali, boys? I've got a few here. You want me to kick things off?
Yeah. Did you write them on the sheet?
No, I wrote them in my diary, Moose. No. Dear diary, question one. Nah, I didn't have my computer at work today, but I had a bit of scrap paper, so I wrote them down here. You got any questions, Brad?
I've got one.
You start then.
Because you didn't answer it on the Road to Nowhere series when I asked you to answer it.
When you said
the question was, well, I guess a few weeks ago, like coming off your injury, have you taken any sort of major risks to get yourself fit fast, or have you taken a conservative approach?
Yeah, that was actually a good question, Brad. Sorry I didn't answer that on the other one. But this whole training block has essentially been a risk, and we've tried to manage it, and Julian has adjusted my training compared to what I would normally do leading into a marathon to try and, I guess, reduce the risk a little. But yeah, essentially I had to come back from 4 weeks of no running much quicker than I would have otherwise, but I was on a very tight schedule to get fit for London, and I sort of made the decision that I wanted to see if I could get fit, because I didn't really want to go to London not fit. So it was either don't don't go and just sit this one out, or just take the risk, work as hard as I can in the, I think it was 12 weeks or whatever that I had, and just see where I could get in that time. But I certainly wasn't, I didn't wait until I was pain free to be back running, and I've still actually got a little bit of foot pain on and off, but it's gradually got better over the last 6 weeks or so. But yeah, it was, I would say it was a fairly high risk one this time around.
And how would you say 4 weeks out, your fitness now compared to your other marathons?
Yeah, it's, I would say I'm definitely not as fit as I was going into Nagoya or New York. I think New York was a bit of a strange one. I didn't have very good sessions in that last 4 weeks. I was really tired, and I'd just come off the 10K in Doha. So I think I was actually fatigued, but I was probably fitter than I'd ever been coming off that Doha run and the training camp in St. Moritz. So that was a little bit of a different build up. And then, yeah, I mean, the paces that I'm running at the moment aren't what I've run in the past, but it's going to be that we try and peak a little later, I guess, in training and have a shorter, more aggressive taper. So I'm not really expecting to be feeling super fit right now. And I'm in that, this part of the training block now where I am starting to feel tired, which I think is a good sign that hopefully I've got, a decent amount of mileage in the legs. And I'm hoping that in a month after a taper, it pays off.
Moose, didn't you say the other week though that you've purposely given Ellie like sessions that she hasn't done before so that she's got nothing to compare it to?
Yeah, I think like Ellie might not, you're always saying at the moment, Ellie, you're not as fit as you were, but back when you were doing those other sessions, you were basically doing two sessions a week and you were tapering for the session and recovering from them. So those sessions were designed to be big and impressive, and you were supposed to hit paces for a long period of time, but because you were allowing yourself to do that. Now, the way that you're training at the moment with a 38K long run, nearly 3 hour run on a Sunday with faster workouts on a Tuesday, you're not really giving yourself a chance to hit workouts that you can be impressed by. So you might not think you're as fit as you are based on the sessions, but I'm pretty confident that you, like, that you're just as strong as you were.
Especially with those heels. Look, that's
thanks.
600, kind words, coach.
632 meters of climbing on yesterday's long run.
It's not kind words. It's facts.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm with you. I messaged her after I listened to that podcast, going, she's fit as. Yeah.
I'm not pumping her up. Sometimes I'll pump you up, Ellie, but I'm not pumping you up. I'm just talking real talk.
What are you going to do to get pump ups as a coach athlete kind of relationship with Moose, Ellie?
they're few and far between.
You got to have a shit race.
Ellie, can you tell us what last week looked like? So your two workouts and your long run, and how many overall Ks you hit, or three workouts, whatever you did.
Yeah, sure. So last week, that was my biggest week I've done so far. So I ran 153 Ks, and it was on Tuesday. I went to the Sands and did a session that was 15-minute threshold, 3-minute jog, 6x, 2 minutes hard, 1 minute easy, 2 minute jog, and then another 15-minute threshold. So that one, this was probably the first one actually where I struggled, and I did feel quite tired. So I think I hit 324s for the first 15 minutes. And I thought, oh, this is okay. My legs were pretty heavy and I didn't feel great. And then my 2 minutes sort of varied between 315 and 320, I think, which was probably a little slower than I wanted, but I just felt like I didn't have any go in the legs. And then my second 15 minutes was hard. That was, 329s. My heart rate just kept going up if I went any faster than that. So, I used my heart rate strap for that to make sure that I didn't totally overcook it. But, yeah, so that was almost 15 Ks, I think, within that session. And then I was a little disappointed after that one, but Jules gave me another pump up.
Did you look at the pace during it, or was that just after?
No, so I haven't been looking at pace. So I had it on just on heart rate.
Yeah.
And then, I could see my pace roughly while I was doing the 2 minute on-offs because I didn't have heart rate on for that one, but I didn't really look at it until the end. So, yeah, it was okay. It was probably a little slower than I was hoping it would be, but that's okay.
And Moose was there with you riding that one?
No, he wasn't.
Where were you, Moose?
Yeah.
Bike bitch. He work. It's Tuesdays.
Oh, the one day a week he goes to work.
He's my bike bitch on Friday.
Ah, oh, okay, sorry, wrong days.
Got a whistle.
Yeah, pretty much. Told me to stop talking on Friday. So Friday we met at the chocolate factory, and Jules was on the bike for this one. And the plan was 4x15 minutes at marathon effort, 5 minutes jog. So we went out. They were all pretty variable. The first one was 3:32s. Second one was 3:34s. And I didn't feel good on the second one. I was thinking this session was going to go pear-shaped. And then I think we had a bit of a headwind and we were going slightly uphill. So then when we spun around, it was 3:28s, then 3:27s for the 15-minute blocks. So that was 20 and a half Ks all up. And, yeah, again, it was sort of – I wasn't stoked with it. It wasn't too bad. It improved as the session went on, and I actually felt much better in the last two reps than I did the first two. But yeah, that was another pretty big one. So I think it was about 27 Ks with the warm up and cool down.
So those last two efforts are kind of like 2:25, 2:26 marathon pace?
They are actually. I think that's about 2:26.
Yeah,
it still doesn't feel like. I remember in previous blocks I've done 3:28s felt really quite comfortable, and it doesn't feel that comfortable yet. But
you ran 38k on Sunday, nearly 3 hours over hills, so that will be accumulating. And the fact that you don't have kilometers in your legs like you used to. Like you had that big down patch from what, November through to what, Feb. That takes a toll on turn. Like when you build your mileage up to like 150 last week, that was your first week at 150. And before that, the biggest week was 125 or something, or 130.
I think it was like 138.
I
know what you mean. I'm going in without that, like the big long runs and the big Ks already there. So that's all still sort of coming.
Mm.
Yes. And then Sunday I had another 38K. So I started very early for me, 6:46. And I had Bree. So I'd organized to do the first half with Bree, which was very nice of her to get up that early on a Sunday morning. So she met me at Point Road Night, and we ran out to Red Rocks, which is sort of at the end of Point Addis on the beach. It was a pretty nice morning down the surf coast. And then we went up onto the cliff track and sort of ran back to Anglesey that way and back to Point Road Night. And then Bree finished up, Lockie Doak arrived, and then Lockie and I ran to Aries Inlet and back basically. So we went up on the trails for the first part and then came back again along the beach to finish. So yeah, 38k in total, but it was the most beautiful day, and I've had the last two weekends has been just shocking weather for long runs, so this one I just really enjoyed it. It's so much less painful when it's not raining and 60 kilometer an hour winds, so yeah, that was good.
So then come race day, Moose, you might be able to jump in on this one as well. If you're not going to do workouts that give you an indication of what kind of shape you're in, what pace group do you go out with?
You go out with the pace group that I guess you're confident you can run with. Ellie's got enough ambition where she knows it's not going to be much point rocking up and jogging, or not jogging, but like running at 90% of what she could probably do and coming 30th in the race. Ellie and I haven't fully discussed this, but I think we're both on the same page, Ellie.
Yeah.
We both know the group that you're going to go with.
Sinead Dyer's group.
Well, who knows what that's, I don't know what we don't know what Sinead Diver is going to do. It's irrelevant. Like, I don't.
That was a joke. Yeah.
I know it's a joke, but you know, sometimes it gets a bit much. Always talking of Sinead. Sinead's consistently the best marathoner in the country now, right?
Hmm.
And sometimes it's unfair for Ali, I think, always to get lumped in and be like, oh, you just Sinead. Don't you think?
I think it's a compliment for both of them.
Sinead's class runner. She was seventh, I think. What was she at New York, Ali? Fifth.
Fifth and seventh.
She was fifth, yeah.
Fifth at New York Marathon. And she's run 2:24. Like, she is, she's a potential to break the Australian record in London.
100%, yeah.
So the group will be filled with, like, how many people do you think, Ali?
I think in our group there'll be at least 10 girls, maybe 10 to 12 girls. So there's going to be some really fast groups, like probably, I'm not sure if they're trying to break the world record, but I assume they will be on that course. And I don't know how many girls will go with Bridget Kosgei on that, but there'll be a really fast group. Then there'll be another group probably going somewhere sub 220, I'd say. And then, yeah, the next two groups, I mean, it will change as it gets closer, but there's not a heap of groups in the 220s. There's one that's probably aiming sort of mid to low, and then one that will be going more for the Olympic qualifying time. And as much as right now I feel like I'm definitely not – I'm in the shape more to go with that slower group, I just don't know if I would go to London – run that time and then come back disappointed if I didn't have a crack at something faster with the, you know, fast course, really strong field. It sort of seems pointless for me to go and run 3 or 4 minutes slower than I have. Mm-hmm. But it could also backfire if I go with the faster group, and it could be a complete blow up, but I don't know. And there's also a big chance that things will change. So because the British girls will have a lot of control, I think, with what the pace groups are. So if they say, you know, we don't want to go below 225 pace, we want to group at 227 or 228 or 226, then I imagine that things might change around between now and then. So I'm just going to wait and see how I'm feeling, see what the groups end up being. Because I know when I've paced in Japan, they'll sometimes change the pace like the night before, depending on how people are feeling. So, yeah, we'll see. But I'm probably going to go again with the higher risk approach, to be honest.
Remind me, does London do just female paces now? Because obviously when Paula broke the world record, she had male paces, but now they just go female paces for the female race?
Yeah, it's female only. So, yeah. They'll have we've got Susan Crummins is actually going to be pacing one of the groups within the 220s. So that will be really cool. And then there'll be about 3 or 4 pacemakers for each group, I'd say. So like if Bridget Kosgei wants to run 214 again, I mean, I don't know. There's not going to be that many women in the world that can run at that pace for too long. So that'll be interesting. She might only have help for the first half or if even.
Yeah.
I've got a question on the logistics, Ellie. Like normally with London, the women start before the men, but that's when it's like a point-to-point race. Because it's around a loop, do the women have like a completely separate start time, or are they going to be on the course the same time as the men?
Yeah, so we start completely separately. So I think we're at about 7 a.m., was it, Jules, or 7:30?
I think you're the earlier one, was it? 7? Yeah.
Yeah, and then the men are 3 hours later, okay, so which is good because, I mean, if we were on the course while the men were running, we'd be getting in their way with – it's only a 2K loop, so we'd be getting lapped and it'd be a bit of a nightmare. So, yeah, and I'm glad it's that way around so we can finish our race and then hopefully get to stay and watch the men's race live, which will be really cool.
Hey, Ali. I swear,
it's from going out too hard.
Hey, Ali, the fuel cell racer elite. You're probably one of the only people that's actually worn this when you used the prototype at New York, correct?
Yeah, yep, that's right. So I got to try it out last year. I got it, I think, just before I left for New York, and I only did one session in it and then wore it in the race. But, yeah, it's a great shoe. It's quite similar to the TC, which is the version that's been out for a few months now, but significantly lighter. And that was the one thing, because I'd worn the TC prototype as well prior in a half marathon, And that was the feedback I gave New Balance after that. I said, I really like it, but it's just a little heavy. And then, they came back with this one a couple of months later. So it's a great shoe.
Brad's just designed a shoe for you.
Yeah, how good is that?
No, I think it was already coming. I think it was just luck.
And with the shoes as well, Ali, like, do you pay much attention to all the chat about all these super shoes and stuff that are out at the moment? Like, will you be on the start line checking out what everyone's got on their feet, or just know your ones for you and you just worry about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in shoes and different components of different shoes and how they can affect performance. So I certainly pay attention to what's out there and what other people are wearing. And for me, when I signed with New Balance, that was something that I was pretty big on, that I wanted to be wearing a shoe that I was comfortable with. And so I had to wait until I got the TCs to be convinced that they had some really good shoes coming up. So I trialed them in a race and then I said, yep, I love them. Sign me up. And yeah, so I'm certainly a big believer in the importance of good footwear, particularly for performance in races. So I take quite a bit of note of all of those things.
Yeah, and obviously worked for you the last 6, 8, 10 months.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I feel confident in the shoes I'm wearing, so I think that's the main thing you want going into races, to feel like you're wearing the fastest shoe out there and not be feeling as though there's any unfair, or disadvantage in what you've got on your feet compared with other people. So, yeah, I'm very happy with that.
Ali, what about with Julian pulling out of London a couple of weeks ago? This would have been the first marathon that you were helping him prepare for. Like, obviously at Doha, he was competing and coaching you. Were you kind of concerned, or like, was that a bit of a relief when he pulled out as well, that you can just focus on yourself now and just got him back as a coach and not one of your athletes on the same performance on the same day? Serious question, because that's obviously, you got to have two heads on that day now.
Yeah, I mean, I was really sad, to be honest, when Julian pulled out. I think I was sadder than him, that I got him so injured, three injuries in.
I do want a refund on my coaching, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I was still holding out hope that this would settle, and I'd seen the sessions he'd done and I just knew how fit he was. So I was just devastated, I think, that he didn't get to use it in a race. So yeah, I definitely, and I don't, to be honest, aside from the fact that I did end up getting him injured, I don't really feel a lot of pressure coaching him from the point of view that he knows everything so well already. He knows how to prepare himself. I don't really feel as though I need to be, telling him how to race a marathon and giving him too much instruction in that department, because he's certainly the expert there. So wasn't really feeling that sort of pressure, but yeah, I was just hoping that he could get his body right and be there on the day. But I think it's a really positive sign. He knows how fit he can get now, and hopefully he can do it in another race in the near future.
Yeah, you got me to a 10K PB. Basically, oh, well, we won't call it a PB.
Time trials, don't they call them PBs, Moose?
But no, I was pretty – best thing I've done from my running in years, getting a coach.
And to be fair, Ellie, like, if you had told him not to do – like, he said a couple of weeks ago that you actually told him not to do the session at the end of the long run when he was in pain. So if you had told him earlier in the campaign, oh, I want you to take a week off to get over your plantar or whatever – as if he would have listened to you anyway.
Yeah, I think, like, it was pretty hard to, knowing how fit he was, I think, to tell yourself to take a week off when you're absolutely peaking is a very difficult thing to do, as we all know. And the problem was with the first two injuries was that he could run through them. So, you know, that was probably the main issue, because he kept running. And even if it was a little bit affected, they're not, it obviously led to injuries elsewhere. So I guess that's something we'll know going forward,
An Ali interview. Let's go. Ali.
I've got some more for Ali. Ali, yeah. You're Kipchoge, you're a Bikili fan. Who do you want to get up in the men's race?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think everybody loves Kipchoge, don't they? But it would be really nice to see somebody challenge him in a marathon. It sort of seemed like he was unbeatable the last few years until Bekele went to Berlin and nearly broke his world record. So I think I just hope that it's really close, and it would be quite exciting if he got knocked off, even though he's a very likable character and I'm sure everybody would be sad. But yeah, I don't think he'll lose though. I think he's, I actually think he's too good, to be honest, but we'll see.
He's got a much better track record of getting himself to the start line fit than Bekele over the last couple of years. That's got to play into his favour, I think.
And to the finish line.
Yeah.
That consistency is just, there's nobody close in that department, is there?
No, it's not. And when you return to Australia, Ali, you'll have to do 2 weeks isolation, I assume. What are you going to watch on Netflix, or books you've got ready to read, or what are you going to do for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm a little bit nervous about the hotel quarantine, to be honest. I've been trying not to think about it too much because I get a little bit stressed when I think about it. So I'll definitely be watching a lot of Netflix, and I've started downloading some books onto my phone to read. But yeah, I've bought some equipment that I can take in with me, like a skipping rope and some sliders and TheraBand, and yeah, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do, but I'll have to find something to keep me entertained.
Yeah, might be a long 2 weeks.
Any suggestions?
What have we been watching? Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's a good TV show.
Oh, yeah.
It's about all I've got at the moment.
Ali's into reality TV shows.
No, I actually like American sitcoms quite a lot as well, because especially I always find things like that, when you're a little bit stressed or a little bit anxious, those kind of shows just mind-numbingly
easy watching.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm gonna do, but we'll see. Gotta do it. So
you can catch up on some business work that you need to.
Yeah, keep the coaching business alive like I always am.
Imagine working with Moose, eh? my list of questions is finished here, boys, I think. Ali, I'm coaching myself this week, and I'm expecting a pair of the Fuel Cell Racer Elite shoes to arrive any day now. Have you got a recommendation of the first session I should do in them?
Ooh,
give me something to chuck in a fifth gear, something real hard.
Yeah, they're a pretty fast shoe. They actually do feel quite good going fast. So I'd do something maybe with a cut down at the end, like a threshold with some minute on, minute offs to finish.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, which is probably something that you've done before.
Yeah, 20-minute threshy, and then we'll go 6x minute on, minute off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty hard.
8x minute on, minute off.
You gave that to me a couple of weeks ago, Moose.
Oh, solid workout.
I'll start listening to my weekly recaps here. Rightio, Brad, you got any more questions for Ali?
No, just good luck, Ellie, and yeah, hope it goes well. Actually, one last one. What big meaty sessions will we see on Strava this week? What do you got planned?
We got a good one.
Yeah, I've got some brutal stuff this week. So tomorrow I've got 10 by a K, and then on Friday I've got this terribly hilly tempo loop that Julian's planned out in the middle of nowhere over in the mountains behind Aries.
This so, is some Rocky Four style training.
Blue collar. That's blue collar session. That's got like Deacon Mono written all over it.
10 mile tempo through the hills, 4K or 3K sort of downhill warm up into about I'd say a hill that goes up about 3.5K, and then probably 2K downhill, and then about 8K hill to up, and then it's probably 6K up, and then you finish downhill for like 2K. It's proper. Yeah, I reckon Stromlo like that. I remember Herdy always used to tell me about the 10 mile loop they had at Stromlo, where you sort of started and you run through like, they're all roads now or estates or something, Brad.
Yeah. It's pretty hilly through there. Yeah. And are your K reps on the track?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go to the track to do them. Last time I did K reps, I did them on the road near my house, but I wouldn't mind going to the track just to, you know how you can zone off and sort of get into a bit of a rhythm when you're doing it on an athletics track. So I'll head in there in the morning. And then I've got another 38K on Sunday. So, yeah, trying to get as many Ks in as I can in the next few weeks before taper.
Maybe do some of those Ks like in reverse. So you're not doing 25 laps in one direction. Maybe like do every second one, can't like clockwise.
My foot likes anti-clockwise on the track.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it feels better running that direction than the other way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Overruled, coach.
Yeah, whatever. This shows you're seeing the dynamic.
Fascinating insight, though. Thanks for giving us some time, Ali, and sharing, you know, some of your preparation with our listeners. Obviously, there's a lot of them who know a lot about you and stuff, and I'm sure when that live stream starts, it'll be Sunday afternoon, Sunday night here, there'll be a lot of Inside Running Podcast listeners pretty keen with their eyes fixed on you and watching how you're going.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me, and, yeah, let's hope it's not a complete blow-up, but we'll see.
You'll be fine. Good luck.
Good luck.
Love the confidence.
Back to The Bachelor now, Ali.
No, I haven't been watching The Bachelor. I lost interest. It turned into Zoom dates and I couldn't handle it, so I'm off it.
Okay. You can stick around for the last couple of minutes if you want. Moose, what's coming up in your life between now and next week?
Alpha Fly drops tomorrow in store. No one will get this. That's a shame.
Patrons will get it.
Oh, well, get up early, 8 a.m. A few Alpha Flies going for sale. And then, yep, going to watch Ali do a workout Friday. I'm going to go surfing. I bought a new surfboard, so that's fun.
New toy, Brad.
Yeah.
He's a surfer these days.
What about his Instagram stories as well? He's just like a photo of a record every day, like just another new record he's bought.
I did comment on that. Johnny Cash. That was one of the best things you put on Instagram.
It was Biggie today, wasn't it?
Biggie Smalls, Ready to Die. What else have I got? Loyal Carna I put up there. Oh, Nirvana.
Loyal Carna. Saw him live at, where was that? Groove in the Moo.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Mm. See, I'm cool.
You are cool.
You're cool. We're cool.
Yeah, we're all right. What are you doing, Bradley, between now and next week?
A couple of sessions, long run, try and prove Moose wrong that if I just stick at it, I'll come good.
That was a question, not a statement.
Oh, I just felt like there was this like undertone of you shouldn't be doing so much.
I asked you a question. I'm not sure how you can get that from asking a question.
Anyway, we'll see. I'll keep turning up, see what happens.
He'll be fuming through mulligans tomorrow, I reckon. Just fucking swearing on himself.
I'm on the road tomorrow. Actually, I'll do a morning run in through Mulligans, but then my session will be on the road.
All right, Ali.
Brady.
No, I'm working, Brad. Working. Then I look after Hudson.
PE teacher.
No, I've been changed from PE. The PE teacher got, because they extended this bubble around Echuca Moama, it was 2.5 Ks, but now it's 50 Ks. So the PE teacher can come back to work. So I was pretty happy
about that, I'm guessing.
Oh, mate, the amount of steps I was doing. I think last Monday I did like 13.5K PE teaching. Today I did 1.5K supervising year 11 exams the whole day. So that's what I'm doing, supervising exams, having fun. And they're doing Ali's workout she just sent me. That's about it. Just chilling out. Actually, I'm on Road to Nowhere on Thursday night with special guest Brett Robinson. He's joining the panel to replace Ali.
Oh, that'll be funny.
Yep. Australian record holder over the half marathon. Be interesting to hear how he's tracking 4 weeks out from London as well. Anyway, Ali, what are you doing between now and next week?
Oh, I'm just running lots of Ks, working a bit. Yeah, still not much else. Still in lockdown.
Yeah, Victoria, eh? Anyway, we're done, listeners. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Inside Running Podcast. See us all next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you again to this week's episode sponsor, New Balance. Made with an obsession for speed, the fuel cell offers the highest energy return of any New Balance performance foam today. Access fast with the fuel cell RC Elite, available at selected running specialty stores and newbalance.com.au.